माधव जय कुंज बिहति। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन बल्लभ जय गिरिवदरी जय गिरिवदरी। जय गोपी जन बल्लभ जय गिरिवदरी जय गिरिवदरी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरंजन जय व्रज जनरंजन। जय यशोदानन्दन जय व्रज जनरंजन जय व्रज जनरंजन। जय जमुनति रमन चादे जय कुंज बिहारे। जय जय जमुनति रमन चादे जय कुंज बिहारी। जय जमुनति रमन चारी जय कुंज রবি হরি জয় যমুনতি রবন চারি জয় কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় রাস বিহারি জয় রাস বিহারি জয় রাস বিহারি জয় রাস বিহারি জয় রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধে জয় রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধে জয় রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধা শ্যাম সুন্দর রাধে জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম জয় কৃষ্ণ বলরাম হরিব 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 গৌর হরিব জয় জয় প্রভুপাদ 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 জয় জয় গুরুদেব 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 গুরুদেব
জয়ং বিষ্ণু পদ পরমহংস পরিব্রজকাচার্য অষ্টসরথ শ্রী শ্রীমারিস্তবাঙ্গ্রী শিল বৈচরণবৃন্দ ভক্তিবিরান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয় অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ কি জয় নমাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয় প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গরার হর শ্রীবাস হরি গো ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয় শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ কবিনাথ শ্যাম কুন্দ রাধা কুন্দ গিরি গোবরান কি জয় ব্রজভূমি শ্রী বৃন্দাবন ধাম কি জয় নবদ্বীপ মায়াপুর ধাম কি জয় গঙ্গামায়ী কি জয় যমুনমায়ী কি জয় তুলসী মহারানী কি জয় ভক্তি দেবী কি জয় যুগধর্ম হরিনাম সংকীর্তন কি জয় গ্রন্থরাজ শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম কি জয় শ্যামবেদ ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয় অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দ্য সাম অফ দ্য ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দ্য সাম অফ দ্য ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু শ্রী শ্রী গুরু গ্রন্থ You can see. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now I have my voice is very down, so please excuse me if I sound low and rough and gruff. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tadojayam Udirijet Nastaprayesha Budreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So today we're reading by Krishna's grace, by the special arrangement of the devotees of Lord Krishna. We're reading from the chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 29, which is the beginning of Rasa Panchadhyaya. And we're reading from text 39. So Dravida Prabhu will lead us in the Sanskrit. No, just the chant, the one line at a time. No, yes. Oh, here's the mic here, I think. Is it working? Yes.
Vikshyalakavatamukham tava kundalashvi. Gandasthaladadasudham hasithavalokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujya danda yugam vilokya. Vaksha shriyaka ramanam cha bhavama dasya. Vikshyalakavat mukham tava kundalashvi. Gandasthaladhara sudham hasithava lokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujya danda yugam vilokya. Vakshakshiyaka ramanam cha bhavama dasya. Vikshyalakavat mukham tava kundalashvi. Gandhasthaladhara sudham hasithava lokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujya danda yugam vilokya. Vakshakshiyaka ramanam cha bhavama dasya. Vikshyal kavat mukham tava kundalashvi. Gandhasthaladhara sudham hasithava lokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujya danda yugam vilokya. Vakshakshiyaka ramanam cha bhavama dasya. Vikshyalakavat mukham tava kundalashvi. Gandhasthaladhara sudham hasithava lokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujya danda yugam vilokya. Vakshakshiyaka ramanam cha bhavama dasya. Vikshyalakavat mukham tava kundalashvi. Gandhasthaladhara sudham hasithava lokam. Datta bhayam cha bhujya danda yugam vilokya. Vakshashiyaka ramanam cha bhavama dasya.
Any ladies?
Vikshyalakavata mukham tava kundalashvi. गंडस्थलाद दसुधम हसितावलोकम दत्ताभयं च भुजदंड युगम विलोक्य भक्षाश्रियाकरमणं च भवाम दास्यः.
Okay, word synonyms, please. You can read the word synonyms. Oh, here. Yeah, give me the book.
Viksha, seeing. Alaka, by your hair. Avrita, covered. Mukham, face. Tava, your. Kundala, of your earrings. Shri, with the beauty. Kandasthala, having the cheeks. Adhara, of your lips. Sudham, and the nectar. Hasita, smiling. Avalokam, with glances. Datta, bestowing. Abhayam, fearlessness. Cha, and. Bhujadanda, of your mighty arms. Yugam, the pair. Vilokya, glancing upon. Vakshaha, your chest. Shri, of the goddess of fortune. Eka, the only. Ramanam, source of pleasure. Cha, and. Bhavama, we must become. Dasya, your maidservants.
Translation and purport. The translation is by the humble disciple or disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And the purport is basically simply a translation of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. Seeing your face encircled by curling locks of hair, your cheeks beautified by earrings, your lips full of nectar, and your smiling glance, and also seeing your two imposing arms, which take away our fear, and your chest, which is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune, we must become your maidservants. We can say it responsibly. It's a good idea. So it goes deep into the heart, because that's what it's supposed to be doing, mind you. Seeing your face encircled by curling locks of hair. Your cheeks beautified by earrings. Your lips full of nectar. And your smiling glance. And also seeing your two imposing arms, which take away our fear. And your chest, which is the only source of pleasure for the goddess of fortune, we must become your maidservants. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur envisions the gopis' dealings with Krishna as follows. Krishna says, "You want to become my maidservants, so do I have to buy you with some payment, or are you giving yourselves freely?" The gopis reply, "Since the beginning of our youthful womanhood, you have been purchasing us with a payment millions and millions of times more than enough. That payment is your gem-like smiling glance, which constitutes a great treasure we have never heard about or seen anywhere else. When you put your golden turban on your head, your maidservant will act as your valet, pulling up the turban bit by bit until it is just in the right position. And even while you shake a chastising finger at her, trying hard to prohibit her, she will put her hand beneath your turban and take the opportunity to glance at your face. Thus we, your maidservants, will relish with our eyes your abundant sweetness. Krishna says, your husbands will not tolerate this behavior of ours. They will complain bitterly to King Kamsa, thus producing a fearful situation for me and for you as well. The gopis say, but Krishna, your two mighty arms make us fearless, just as they did when you held up Govardhan Hill to protect us from the pride of Mahendra. Those arms will certainly kill that beast, Kamsa. But being a religious person, Krishna is saying, but being a religious person, I cannot make others' wives my maidservants. And the gopis reply, O dear crest jewel of religious personalities, you may say that you refuse to make the cowherd wives your maidservants, but by force you have already taken Lakshmi, the wife of Narayan, from Vaikuntha, and are carrying her around on your chest. Out of shame, she has assumed the form of a golden lion on your chest, and she takes her only pleasure there. Besides, within all the 14 worlds, and even above these worlds, in Vaikuntha Loka, beyond this universe, you never reject any beautiful woman, no matter who she is or whom she belongs to. We know this quite well. That's the end of the purport. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshu Umlitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tirathi Swapadantikam. Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevu Vaishnavevu Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Govur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, there's actually so much nectarine subject matter to discuss with regard to the verse and the purport. You must be knowing by now, but if you're such newcomers, then that perhaps you don't know, both Srila Prabhupada and all of our acharyas, they say that all the expansions of Swayamrup Krishna, that means all the various avatars up to the expansion of Baladev, and as well including the Swayam Prakash manifestations of Krishna, who danced by the side of each gopi in this very Maharas that is under discussion, that all of these expansions of Krishna have only up to 93% of the beauty, sweetness, and lovableness of Swayamrup Radha Krishna. Therefore, our acharyas always advocate the great necessity of those who are endeavoring to come to the position as Rasik Vaishnavas, that they should focus their attention, concentrate their heart and mind and very soul upon the Swayamrup Krishna, the original form of Krishna, who is the lover of Srimati Radharani. In this regard, we should understand that Swayamrupa Krishna particularly has four traits which none of the other manifestations, expansions, incarnations of Krishna have, namely Prema Madhurya, Lila Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, and Rupa Madhurya. So in this verse we are having a little opportunity to have a glimpse of the gopis' let's say perception of Krishna's Rupa Madhurya. And also implied here is his Lila Madhurya. When we see in the purport, in this paragraph, where where the gopis are expressing that your maidservant will act as your valet, and as she's pulling up the turban bit by bit to position it just properly, but she goes overboard, so to speak, and rather than pulling it up only to that place where it will be properly positioned, she goes a little beyond in order to, as practically any woman would do in relationship to her lover, run her fingers through his hair. And in this way, she will Jai Sri Sinitai Go Radhe Sham, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Lalita Vishaka Devi Ki Jai. In this way, she will take the opportunity to relish the sweetness and beauty of Krishna's honeymoon-like face. However, we should always bear in mind that the activities of this particular lover, I personally ascertained that this lover, this maidservant who is being referred to, is none other than Srimati Radharani. And when it says, thus we, your maidservants, will relish with our eyes your abundant sweetness, this the conclusion should be that this is an expression. Actually, if you don't mind, I like the sun because it's a little warmer than the cold shadow. Although the shadow reminds me of Krishna, but the sun reminds me of Radharani. So, those who are Radha Asamas Nayadika, Rag Anugamai Bhaktas, they prefer to associate themselves with the thoughts and feelings of Srimati Radharani. And that's exactly what we're discussing here in gist. That when Vishwanath is he's quoting the gopis are saying that thus we as your maidservants will relish with the sweet with our eyes your abundant sweetness. So this is referring to a sucky bhav. There's difference without, I don't want to get too much into the technicalities because it could, and I already have the tendency to take up more and more time. Most of the time my verbose dissertations, they will not end before 10 or 10:30. So if just at this point I should say that if I do happen to go a little overboard and extend the class time beyond your capacity, then if you have other more important things to do, or if you're too hungry and have to go take prasad, then I'll understand and I won't hold it against you if you want to humbly bow out. Anyhow, because we are discussing the chapter of Krishna's association with the gopis, his meeting with the gopis, although we don't discourage anyone who may be, recognizing within his heart or her heart an inclination toward a particular bhav, we don't discourage, because there are five primary rasas, four of which are principal: Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. But because we are discussing the relationship of Krishna and the gopis, I don't think that it's wrong that we should focus a little on the subject matter of the cultivation of the Madhurya Rati. Although in an assembly of various grades of Vaishnavas, it may be said that such discussions should be limited, and certainly we don't disagree with this point. However, still, just to bring into focus the principles of Sambandha Tattva Gyan, Abhideya Tattva Gyan, and Prayoja Tattva Gyan, there's necessity for knowledge of these subject matters in order to properly focus our devotional activities and as well our devotional mentality in order to actually achieve the desired goal. So some discussion should be there so as to, let's say, give some direction to our cultivation of bhava bhakti. Because after all, Srila Prabhupada didn't come actually to give the fear-based bhakti. Duty and regard based on fear of transgression of scriptural injunctions is there for neophyte devotees who are still yet so hard-hearted or steel-framed as not to actually, appreciate to any significant degree the actual effects of hearing Bhagavat Katha. Bhagavatam is the topmost rasa shastra and is in fact a shastra which is meant to inspire Raganuga Bhakti. There is no other purpose of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is meant to cause the, let's say, awakening of regard for the realm of Braja, for the activities of devotional fervor which are manifest in Braja, which are beyond the, let's say, devotional qualities of the devotees of any other realm, as beautifully elucidated by Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In the cultivation of Kamanuga Bhakti, Kamanuga Bhakti refers to that practice. It is a sadhana which is following in the wake of the Kama Rupa Bhakti of the Brajasundaris, the gopis who are Nitya Parikar of Brajendra Nandan Krishna. To follow in the wake means to adopt the mood or to imbibe the spirit of the Kevala Bhakti, which is manifest in that realm. Sri Guru Charan Padma, Kevala Bhakti Sadma. Kevala Bhakti means that type of bhakti which is devoid of any type of selfish interest, be it material or spiritual. Kevala Bhakti is solely directed to the principle of satisfying Krishna for the sake of satisfying Krishna and Krishna's intimate devotees. So, in the culture of Kamanuga Bhakti, in the, let's say, progress of our, let's say, practice by which we can hope to realize the perfection of the Madhurya Rati, or the Madhurya Rasa, which is solely enjoyed by Krishna as the topmost intense form of devotion, seen in none other than the Braja Gopis. In that cultivation of such Bhava Bhakti, it is essential that we very scrutinizingly assess and ascertain the direction of our, let's say, devotional mentality. There are two types of Kamanuga Bhakti described in the Shastras. One type of Kamanuga Bhakti is the cultivation of a kind of Naika Bhav, or to cultivate the mood of a mistress or heroine. It is technically called is Keli Parayana Sambhogichchamai Raganuga Bhakti, Kamanuga Bhakti. And then there's another form of Kamanuga Bhakti, which is the cultivation of Sakhi Bhav. Sakhi Bhav refers to that mood which is pursuing the happiness of the Yudheshwari, or the group leader. And as most of you may have come to understand by now, there are two group leaders, basically. One is, as Chandravali, she has her sakis and her maidservants as well. But out of all the gopis and all the group leaders, the acharyas have ascertained, rightly so, that it is only Srimati Radharani who is the foremost and the most powerful. Radharani describes her love for Krishna in a book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur called Prema Samputa, better known as The Love Locket. In this book, Radharani describes that her love is acknowledged by everyone as being supermost on account of the very fact that her love is like Mount Sumeru in comparison to the love of any or all of the other gopis put together, for that matter, whose love is comparable to three or four mustard seeds. So, Radharani is the Yudheshwari for anyone who aspires to ascend by the grace of Guru, by the grace of Krishna's Antaranga Shakti, Swarup Shakti, to ascend to the terrace of Gaura Prema, following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, Gaura Prema, and also Radha and Krishna Prema. Our focus is Radha Krishna. Our focus is not Chandravali Krishna. Our focus is Radha Krishna. So, Radha is our Yutheshwari for those who are cultivating the Sakhi Bhav. Sakhi Bhav has five basic categories. Paramprestha Sakhis are the Asta Sakhis, including Lalita and Vishakha, as we see on our altar here. Then Priya Sakhis, then Pran Sakhis, Nitya Sakhis, and General Sakhis. So all of these Sakhis have various moods. But in any case, what is being discussed here with regard to this statement, thus we, your maidservants, will relish with our eyes your abundant sweetness, it should be understood that when Krishna is with Radha, this is the beauty, the distinction between the Sambhogichtamayi aspect of Kamanuga Bhakti and the Bhavichjatmika aspect of Kamanuga Bhakti, which is recommended by our acharyas. Our acharyas, they say that the Bhavichjatmika, the cultivation of the Sakhi Bhav, is far superior than the cultivation of the Naika Bhav in Sambhogichtami, Kamanuga Bhakti. The reason being that the Naika Bhav is centered on the vision of the beautiful face of Krishna at the time of, let's say, sportive dalliances. But the Sakhi Bhav allows one to see the beauty of Krishna when he is with his, supreme Shakti, Srimati Radharani. When he is with Radha, because when Radharani, this expression is not a selfish expression, neither the expression that the maidservants will relish with our eyes your abundant sweetness, nor the expression that she will take the opportunity, this particular maidservant running her fingers through Krishna's hair, will take the opportunity to glance at your face. These are not selfish expressions. They are expressions of prema. Krishna Indriya Priti Ichta Dari Premanam. They are not expressions of kama. Kama is quite like iron in comparison to the gold of prema. Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tari Bali Kam. To satisfy one's own senses is called lust. And to satisfy Krishna's senses is called prema. So understanding the transcendental nature of these expressions as expressions of pranay. Pranay means the humble supplication of the lover to her beloved. There are different aspects of prema, of which pranay is one. Sneha, pranay, man, rag, anurag, bhava, mahabhav, these are different aspects of the prema ladder, so to speak. And it is in this chapter that we find Panai Geet. And this Panai is a manifestation of premic expressions which have nothing to do whatsoever with the mundane perverted reflection of so-called womanhood in this world. We might jump a little bit to the last paragraph of the purport, where the gopis say, besides, within all these 14 worlds, and even above these worlds, in Vaikuntha, beyond this universe, you will never reject any beautiful woman, no matter who she is, or from whom, or whom she belongs to. We know this quite well. So, this expression is also an expression of prema. It is a kind of expression of jealousy in certain respects. However, what they're really trying to say is they're trying to say that how could you possibly be attracted to the rotting corpses of the bags of blood, stool, urine, pus, and let's say various foul airs with a few stool-like hairs eking out of the tops of heads and various other parts of the body. How could you possibly be attracted to anyone other than us? Therefore, their expression is to draw Krishna's attention to them who are the topmost beauties in all the material and spiritual worlds. As a matter of fact, no one should be proud of his or her so-called materially, or let's say, materially contaminated or otherwise physical bodily beauty, and become conceited, thinking that simply because we may be having a semblance of so-called womanhood, that we have rights to be enjoyed by Krishna. Prabhupada has stated that the most beautiful woman of this world is comparable to toads or frogs in relationship to the woman of the heavenly planets. What to speak of the woman as being referred to in Vaikuntha, and what to speak of the Braja Gopis, who are really Sumadhyam. Sumadhyama is described as being the, let's say, the yardstick by which we can judge or measure the beauty of a woman. Sumadhyama means, madhyam refers to the waist as being very thin. So, not that they are starving, and that's why they're thin, but they are certainly not gluttonous. Gluttonous, meaning gluttonous for material gratifications. They are devoid of the propensity for selfish endeavors. And they are completely absorbed in prema rasa, which is what is making their waist very thin and beautiful and appealing to Krishna. So our cultivation of the, let's say, bhajan, which is meant for elevating the devotee to the highest perfectional stage of braja bhakti, madhurya bhakti, it is very, in such cultivation, it is very essential that we hone, that we refine and refine our Krishna consciousness, understanding that there are gradations of bhakti. In this world, you can hardly see even a trace of the beauty of the gopi bhav. You can hardly even see a trace of the beauty of Vaikuntharas, what to speak of Brajaras. But nevertheless, the intelligent devotee ascertains the goal and aspires with heartfelt longings to come to that position which will be, let's say, most enjoyable by Krishna, by the grace of our Guru Varga, or our Guru Parampara, our Guru family. So we should find inspiration in the slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat is meant to awaken within us an attraction to the realm of Braja. It is meant to awaken within us an attraction to the Adiras of the, devotees of Krishna, Vrajendranandan Krishna, principally the gopis, moods of selfless loving service. And it is meant to rub off on us. The more we hear, the more our heart is purified. As we hear about the activities of Krishna with his beloved gopikas, because that activity of loving Krishna on the basis of gopi prema is a purely spiritual activity, the activity of hearing about such transcendentally qualified leelas of the gopis with Krishna has the diametric opposite effect to hearing about mundane relationships between men and women of this world. In this regard, we should refer, as the opportunity is arising, we should refer to a statement by Srila Prabhupada in one purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4, text 35. One who has not been attracted to the transcendental beauty of rasa, this means Vaikuntha rasa. Just to interject a little explanation, in what is the book? There are four types of. There's a delineation of the distinction of varieties of rasa. Partiva rasa, which refers to the material gratifications or the experiences, relishment of the vishaya or the gross sensual sense objects of this world. And then swargiya rasa, which refers to the mental disposition that one may be having toward an object of affection. And then beyond these two, partiva rasa and swargiya rasa, there is the Vaikuntha rasa. Then in the category of Vaikuntha rasa, there is Braja rasa, in which we will find the Adiras, or the original love dalliances between Krishna and the gopis. So we cannot think that Srila Prabhupada is talking about, here in this sentence, that he is talking about the perverted reflection of the transcendental Adiras. Rather, he is specifically directing our attention to this adiras, which is shared, adirasa, excuse me, which is shared between Krishna and his gopis. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly, I want you to hear this clearly, so hang on a minute. Let's try again. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down to material attraction. Please catch the drift of what Prabhupada is trying to give us. He's trying to inspire us to open our heart and allow the Bhagwat to influence us. He's trying to help us to sympathize with the, or come to the position of sympathizing with the expressions of the Brajaras. And he's specifically referring to Brajaras in this purport. One who has not been attracted by the transcendental beauty of rasa will certainly be dragged down into material attraction, thus to act in material contamination and progress to the darkest region of hellish life. But by understanding the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one is freed from the grip of attraction to so-called material love, or to the material so-called love between man and woman. Similarly, listen to that one again. I think we should listen to it again. It really needs to be heard again and again. Because sometimes devotees tend to shy away from these topics. And sometimes in our society, there has arisen a kind of taboo which doesn't allow, or let's say doesn't facilitate, in some ways it facilitates, just like some of the gopis were locked in their rooms, you know, so the dam may be placed before us. No, don't go. Don't see that beautiful boy. Because if you see that beautiful boy, you'll lose attraction to the Partivaras and the Swargiaras of this material platform. So I'm going to read it again. By understanding, of course, who can understand? But by hearing, we purify ourselves, and gradually we enter into an appreciation which will help us to sympathize. And as we sympathize, it's just like, I don't know, you might have seen, like on a sitar or on a sarod and some types of veenas, there is what is called sympathetic strings. These strings, when you pluck the main playing string on any swar or any pitch, any note, on any fret, then the string which is corresponding will vibrate similarly. So similarly, it should be understood that different devotees may be having, let's say, inherent capacity for the different of the five rasas. The various rasas, if someone will be hearing the Bhagavatam and he will be hearing that if he will be having the inherent capacity for Sakyabhav, then when he hears certain pastimes, it will the vibration of those pastimes will resonate and cause the natural inherent, let's say, string, which is corresponding to that particular bob, to gradually begin to vibrate. Of course, it should be noted that if the string is rusty, then it will not vibrate so nicely. So we should carefully, let's say, do the anartanavritti, or clean the string of the rust, so that it will nicely vibrate and with respect to the various leelas of Krishna. So here in particular, Prabhupada is going to go through, let's say, an analysis of the various rasas and the effects that one will get by attaching oneself, primarily by hearing, which causes that attraction to manifest within the heart. So he's telling that if one will understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, one will be freed from the material so-called love between man and woman. Then he says that if one accepts Krishna as the supreme friend, similarly, one who understands the pure parental love of Nanda and Yashoda for Krishna will be saved. Mind you, it's not so wonderful to, have nice children and, cuddly and, all these things that the fathers and mothers like to do with their children. It's not such a wonderful thing. Otherwise, why is Prabhupada using the word saved? Saved from being dragged into material parental affection. So we will be saved if someone becomes enchanted by the prospects of having Krishna as one's son. Then he or she will be saved from being dragged into material parental affection. If one accepts Krishna as the supreme friend, the attraction of material friendship will be finished for him, and he will not be dismayed by so-called friendship with mundane wranglers. In the material world, friendship is characterized by a mutual, you can say, exploitative spirit. I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. But then when someone neglects to scratch your back, then finished. So that is the nature of material friendship. Or otherwise, that I'm your friend because you can give me something. Or I'm your friend because I can steal something from you if I pose as your friend. Even it comes to that condition. Mundane wranglers. If he is attracted by servitorship to Krishna, he will no longer have to serve the material body in the degraded status of material existence with the false hope of becoming master in the future. Similarly, one who sees the greatness of Krishna in neutrality will certainly never again seek the so-called relief of impersonalist or voidist philosophy. If one is not attracted by the transcendental nature of Krishna, one is sure to be attracted to material enjoyment. Please mark this. This is a clarion call to all sincere aspirants to the realm of bhakti. All sincere bhaktas, all sincere sadhakas. Please note, Prabhupada's, it is actually an emphatic statement. If one is not attracted by the transcendental nature of Krishna, one is sure to be attracted to material enjoyment, thus to become implicated in the clinging network of virtuous and sinful activities, and to continue material existence by transmigrating from one material body to another. Only in Krishna consciousness can one achieve the highest perfection of life. So I might add here, just a thought, that how is it possible to become attracted to Krishna if we don't avail ourselves to the topics of Krishna Katha? Krishna Katha certainly has various aspects, but the foremost and prominent aspect is Krishna's Lila Katha. Although the Lila Katha is meant to be relished by the Paramahansas, it is meant to be relished by those who are very sincere in their practices of sadhana bhakti also. It can hardly be relished by persons who have a hell-bent mentality for material gratifications. Therefore, there is need for instruction concerning the relationship between the jiva and Krishna, the distinction between matter and spirit, the distinction between the body and the real self, the distinction between so-called, let's say, materially conceived self-interest and real self-interest. All these things are necessary to lay the let's say, foundation for our evolution to the platform of actually entering into the relishment of the science of rasa tattva and rasa siddhanta, and to appreciate, understand, which can only really be understood at the stage of prapana dasha. Prapana dasha means when one will be actually getting the spiritual body. Then one can really understand. Before that, we can hardly even get a glimpse. But whatever glimpses we do get by the grace of our Guru Parampara, by the grace of the Acharya Vani, that will serve to inspire us to associate with Krishna via media the process of Krishna Kathamrita, so that we may hope to gradually become purified from the grosser and subtle anarthas and be elevated to our original transcendental constitutional position as an eternal lover or mother or father or friend or servant of Krishna. Like that. This means that we should act on what we hear. When we hear something, that inspiration, if it does not arise in our heart, then we can hardly hope to, respond by acting, you know, in an appropriate way. Once a devotee said, "It is very astonishing that since I have seen this personality of Godhead, who is washed by the tears of my eyes, there is shivering in my body, and he has made me a failure in executing my material duties. Since seeing him, I cannot remain silently at home. I wish to go out to him always." This wishing to go out to Krishna always is also exemplified by the gopis in the Yugal Gita, which is found in the chapter of the gopis' feelings of separation in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, where Srila Prabhupada has described that the gopis did not want to, relish Krishna's association at the rasa dance only, but they wanted to relish his association in the daytime as well. But circumstantially, they were not able to, be relieved of their so-called their material duties, household duties, etc., because of their mothers-in-laws and like that. They could not go to meet with Krishna in the middle of the day. So, at least some of them maybe couldn't, but some of them, as we see in Govinda Lilamrita and other Astakali Lila Granth, they do certainly find ways and means to escape from the the impediments in their meeting with Krishna for his pleasure. So Prabhupada describes that because their hearts went out to Krishna, they were able to relish his association through strong feelings of separation. So these feelings of separation, it is mentioned that in our Gaudiya line particularly, the feelings of separation are to be cultivated, because by cultivating these feelings of separation, this cultivation intensifies our devotional fervor. Krishna doesn't need our patrams and pushpams. What he wants is the bhakti. So anything which will, cause the increase or the intensification of that bhakti may be said to be favorable, even though it appears to be unfavorable, even though it appears to be a kind of impediment. Even in certain respects, our anarthas are instrumental in the matter of gradually augmenting our anxieties for attaining Krishna, because the anarthas trip us up again and again, frustrate us, and as we become more and more desperate and crying out more and more with more greater and greater sincerity for Krishna's mercy, so we can see how this material world is set up in such a way that, as Prabhupada said, the sign of a Vaishnava is that he takes a disadvantage and turns it into an advantage. So, in any case, the heart should go out to Krishna. When that heart goes out to Krishna, then it is possible to associate with Krishna like the gopis, and it is possible, to advance in Krishna consciousness to the perfectional stage of full Krishna consciousness, or the realization of prapana dasha, or the vastu siddhi. Vastu siddhi refers to the perfection of realizing one's eternal satchitananda siddhadeha, or a spiritual body with which to play with Krishna, dance with Krishna, etc. So this devotee is saying, I wish to go out to him always. The purport of this statement is that as soon as one is fortunate enough to contact a pure devotee, this is a wonderful purport, because by Srila Prabhupada, because this is in Nectar of Devotion. If you read Nectar of Devotion, you should have come across this. Whether you marked it or not is, dependent on your the intensity of your desire to see what is to be seen in Srila Prabhupada's books. Ultimately, our vision is dependent on our adhikar. So, some people, when they read the Bhagavatam, they see the black and white words on the page. And some people, by samadhi, are able to, read between the lines, to catch the gist, to catch the spirit. There lies the distinction between form and substance, or spirit. We should be more interested in the spirit than in the form, although the form is also spiritual. Bhagavatam in of itself is identical with Krishna, but there are Bahiranga Bhaktas and Antaranga Bhaktas. So we should come to the position of Antaranga Bhakti, which means to grasp the essence of the message or the bhavas which are being imparted through the teachings of our acharyas. Here's the purport to this statement. The purport of this statement is that as soon as one is fortunate enough to contact a pure devotee, one must, please, be anxious immediately to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, or in other words, to become fully Krishna conscious. Prabhupada is telling must. As soon as one, it's amazing. On one platform, it may be said that how is it that this purport can refer to something which appears to be an expression of asakti or even bhav? That since I have seen this personality of Godhead, who can see? You know, in which way are we seeing? You know, but here he's saying, since I've seen this personality of Godhead, who is washed by the tears of my eyes, means there must be some intense desperation, you know, to attain his lotus feet. Otherwise, how tears from our eyes could be washing the lotus feet of the Lord? There is shivering in my body. This is mentioned to also manifest at the stage of asakti. But it is prominent in the stage of bhava. So I cannot remain silently at home. I wish to go out immediately. So Prabhupada sees the opportunity to give expression to a very basic fundamental principle of advancement in Krishna consciousness, that as soon as one meets a pure devotee, as soon as one is fortunate enough to come in contact with a pure devotee, everyone is coming in contact with the pure devotional vibrations as per Srila Prabhupada's Vani, which is the best way to associate with him anyway, even if we see no one else who, according to our estimation, you know, may fill the bill, so to speak. But there's no excuse. If we come in contact with the pure devotee, then we must, M-U-S-T, imperative, must, emphatically, become anxious. Not that you can, well, take it or leave it. You must become anxious. That anxiousness should be there. The anxiety should be there. The hopes should be there. Desperation should be there. Immediately, to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in one of his purports, he says that unless one knows about the Madhurya heart of Krishna, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, unless one knows about the Madhurya heart of Krishna, then one hardly knows about Krishna at all. Lord Brahma says that there are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. But he says, I hardly know anything about Krishna. Particularly, why, we could say, because how much has he entered into the, let's say, relishment of Krishna's Madhurya Leelas? Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Yet he realized himself as a maidservant, Lord Brahma. So I just think that there's if you don't mind, a few more things. It's getting late again. I always am impressed for this Kala Chakra. You know, many times I condemn. Prabhupada stated that that a devotee always thinks that there's not enough time. 24 hours is not enough time to do all the things that he wants to do for Krishna in a day. 24 hours is not enough time to discuss about Krishna and Krishna's philosophy and Krishna's pleasure pastimes. There's never enough time. A devotee, therefore, must, the word. So, we shouldn't take it lightly. Take it very seriously. A devotee, therefore, must be attracted by the behavior of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is another purport in Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 8, text 19. From this purport, we derive a very nice instruction from Srila Prabhupada. All inspiration is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. Simply, you have to want to be inspired, and you'll see it. A devotee, therefore, must be attracted by the behavior of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who live in a relationship with Krishna. The land, water, cows, trees, and flowers serve Krishna in Shantarasa. His servants serve him in Dasyarasa, and his cowherd friends serve him in Sakyarasa. Similarly, the elderly gopis and gopas serve Krishna as father and mother, uncle, and other relatives, and the young gopis, the cowherd girls, serve Krishna in conjugal love. While executing devotional service, one must, again the word is coming, one must be naturally inclined to serve Krishna in one of these transcendental relationships. That is the actual success of life. So it is not just that we should go on with our humdrum, mechanical, or let's say workaholic program of devotional activities as a kind of ritual or duty, but rather we should take the inspiration from the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, from the Bhagavad Katha, to actually augment our, let's see, aspiration, our anticipation, our hopes for attaining the lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, and attaining the eligibility to actually enter into the services of Radha and Krishna. Seva adi kare diye karo nija dasi. Every morning we sing. What is it? Eni ve danadara saki anugato karo. Seva adi karo diye kara nija dasi. Every morning we're praying, kripa kori karo tore brindavana vasi. Prabhupada has given us this Tosi prayer to sing as a morning ritual. Although it appears to be vaidi, a vidi rule, that you must attend Mangalarti, you must attend Tosi Puja, you must attend Bhagavatam class. You know, if you don't follow the order of Guru, you know, you'll go to hell. Like that. So the Vaidhi is kicking us from behind. But we should not neglect to recognize the beauty of the thing that that Vaidhi is kicking us toward. The Vaidhi is kicking us from behind, but it's toward the very thing which will be attracting us from the front side. Without noticing, without recognizing the beauty of the very cause of the attraction, which augments the greed, the lobha, without recognizing, without opening our eyes, opening our heart, availing our very self, life and soul, to the import of what is being actually displayed before us by our Srila Prabhupada, who is none other than a pure, unalloyed Kevala Bhakti, Kevala Bhakta, bona fide representative of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Rupanuga Sampradaya, who is none other than the topmost Param Rasik Vaishnava, who has come to give us the very essence of the subject matters of attraction. Shastra Vishvasmayi Shraddha is fear-based, the duty-boundedness. Such feelings of duty-boundedness based on a fear of transgressing shastric injunctions or transgressing the rule or the orders of guru, etc. This type of shraddha can never in a million years give rise to rag bhakti. Only that shraddha, termed shortly as lobhamoy shraddha. Lobhamoy shraddha means that you will have regard based on greed. When we hear about the pastimes of Krishna in Braja, and when the heart becomes enchanted by that realm and by the activities of loving reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees, and when within our heart of hearts an appreciation, some sympathy arises toward the devotees of Krishna in the course of their transactions, then that regard which comes on the basis of a covetousness, a desire to have a similar type of relationship, is the only prerequisite for ascending to the terrace of prema on the basis of the rag bhajan. There are categorically two processes of rag bhajan described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Jaiva Dharma. One is called Bahiranga Raganuga Bhakti, Raganuga Sadhana, and the other is Antaranga. Bahiranga means a gradual process or an external application. It is practically almost, if you will go through the writings of Dhyanchandra Goswami in his Sri Sri Gaur Govinda Archan Smaran Padati, it is mentioned there, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that this Bahiranga aspect of Raganuga Sadhan was given by Swarup Damodar Goswami to Vakreshwara Pandit, who described the thing to Gopal Guru Goswami, and the principles have been recorded in Dhyanchandra's Padati. So if you go through that Padati, you will see that it's kind of a mixing of archana, which is like, you can say, a kind of ritualistic programming, and but to, let's say, gradually introduce one to the elements of rag, in that the subject matter of worship is Krishna, Brijendananda Krishna, Radha, and the Astasakis and Astamanjaris, etc. And furthermore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that Swarup Damodar Goswami, he had imparted the essential, you can say, the sophisticated, as it's described, sophisticated esoteric process. Esoteric means that which is revealed within the heart by revelation. This process was described by Swarup Damodar Goswami to Raghunath Das Goswami, and it is illustrated beautifully in his writings. So those who are interested, more important to us as Rupanuga Vaishnavas, we should mark the distinction and the beauty also, the distinction between the Bahiranga aspect of Raganuga Bhakti and the Antaranga aspect of Raganuga Bhakti. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami warns us to that we should be very careful not to allow ourselves to become attracted by the opulence of Lakshmi Narayan Puja. Why? Because it will prove to be a stumbling block on the progress, to the progress of our, advancement to the platform of Braj Bhakti. So here we are in Vrindavan, and we have the opportunity to see the beautiful Madhurya Rupa of Shamsundar and Radharani, and we have, the facility of absorbing the atmosphere of Braja on one level or another. But it is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that even if one is residing in Boma Vrindavan, and even if while residing in Boma Vrindavan, one will be worshipping the Sri Vigraha of Radha and Krishna, still, if one is not worshipping in terms of the essential cultivation of one's antaras chinta siddhadeha, or internally conceived spiritual form, or brajasarup, then one cannot attain the realm of braja. Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita also mentions that by Vaidhi Bhakti alone, one cannot attain the Brajalilas, but rather it is only by the influence of rag, as per the cultivation of Raganuga Bhajan, that one can hope to attain the lotus feet of Brajendra Nandan Krishna and Srimati Radharani. That is not to say that as sadhakas, especially as neophytes, that we should not advantage the principles of Vaidhi Sadhana. And even as Madhyamadikaris, who are seriously aspiring to follow the path of Rag Bhajan, and even those who are, let's say, steady in their practices of Rag Bhajan, and even the Bhavukas, who are on the upper stages, because there's two types of devotees, sadhakas and siddhas. So even the siddhas, externally they will also engage in activities which correspond to the same principles that you will find in the Vaidhi Sadhan process. However, in Raghavartma Chandrika, it is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Raghavartma Chandrika mentions that that Vaidhi Sadhana, that which appears to be Vaidhi Sadhana, because as we've mentioned, Vaidhi Sadhana is based on the type of Shraddha, Shastra Vishvasmayi Shraddha, which is a regard for scriptural injunctions, etc., which is solely dependent on the order, the Vidhis. So when we say apparent Vaidhi, that those, let's say, the apparent Vaidhi, it means that it is looking like that. The same activities. Someone may worship the deity and be topmost Rasik Vaishnava. And someone may worship the deity because he knows he has to purify himself, and if he doesn't worship the deity, he'll fall into Maya like that. And because the Gaudara or the temple authorities have instructed him to... I remember when I first joined the movement, it was like 9 years of deity worship and book distribution before I was allowed to come to Vrindavan for the first time. So temple authorities are binding me, you know, worship the deity. We need someone to worship the deity. Everyone else goes to the festival and I get to stay back to worship the deity, you know, according to the rules and regulations, right? So, but Vishwanath says that that apparent Vaidhi, when it is the Vaidhi Sadhana, when it is inspired by lobha or the greed to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Braja, the eternal associates of Radhan Krishna, when that greed is there, then it is not Vaidhi Sadhana at all, but rather it is an aspect of Rag Bhakti or Rag Bhajan. It is non-different. It is what you could say is Bhava Sambandhi. Bhava Sambandhi, that which connects you to the desired Bhava. Just as in Vaidhi Sadhana, there are different stages from Shravana Dasha to Varana Dasha, Smarana Dasha to Apana Dasha and Prapana Dasha. So similarly, the same let's say, gradation or the same hierarchy of progress will be seen in the Ragmark. Although Prabhupada has mentioned that the enthusiasm, the eagerness, the actual eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the Brajbasis cannot arise until one is completely free from material contamination. But we should try to understand this point a little seriously. The very next sentence, Srila Prabhupada tells that there's a stage in the development of devotional service called anarthanivritti, which means to be completely freed from material contamination. So one may think, because we see adau shraddha tatha sadhu sangha anarthanivritti, bhajan kriya anarthanivritti, then comes nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhav, and prem. So on the scale, it may be seen that anarthanivritti is relatively early. So we question, in certain respects, we question whether anarthanivritti should be seen as a stage of development or a consequence of development, a side effect. You can say, because just as in Rupa Goswami's definition of Uttama Bhakti, anyabilasita shunyam jnana karma dinavritam anukulena krishnano shilanam. So this anukulena krishnano shilanam is taken to be the sarup lakshana, or the actual form, the primary aspect or the primary characteristic, I mean to say, of uttama bhakti, or pure devotional service. Whereas this anyabhilasita shunyam is a marginal characteristic, or you can say also a side effect of sorts. So we are directed to fill the cup with milk in order to drive out the ink. In other words, we concern ourselves more with the sarup lakshana of uttama bhakti than the tatastha lakshana, the marginal characteristic of uttama bhakti, although both are important. In order for there to be, just like when Rupa Goswami says that you should, if you will see the beautiful smiling face of Krishna standing on the bank of Keshigat with his lips brightened by the beams of the full moonlight, you know, that you will no longer, as we were making the point here, Prabhupada is quoting, he's saying that he has made me a failure in executing my material duties. So Rupa Goswami means to say that this is the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness, that one who's actually advancing in Krishna consciousness, one who's actually concerning himself with the sarup lakshana, the consideration of the pleasure of Krishna, the pursuit of the pleasure of Krishna, the performance or the practice of devotional activities which he can understand by the grace of his guru to be pleasing to Krishna, when he's concerned with that, then automatically he becomes disinterested in those things which bind him to the material platform. So in this way, we should understand that Srila Prabhupada actually has given us necessary and sufficient impetus to traverse the path of rag bhajan, when we will come to the position of having the greed, which is the only adhikar, the only requirement. That greed can manifest and only manifest on the basis of Shravana Dasha. Raganuga Bhakti also begins with Shravana Dasha, which is, although, as we were pointing out, the actual eagerness may not come till Anarthanivritti. But Anarthanivritti is not a small thing. My thinking is a little helter-skelter at the moment, but because I'm distracted a little bit, all the public and everything. So, but I hope you can put it together for me in your own mind. The Anarthanivritti, there are different stages of Anarthanivritti, even all the way up to the Sampati Dasha, wherein one is, or Prapana Dasha, wherein one has, and until that stage, I mean to say, the Anarthas are still there, even slight traces or residues of the effects of Anarthas arising from Namaparad. All these things are described in Madhurya Kadambini. We don't have time to get into the whole analytical discussion, but we should understand that one is not completely free from material contamination until he has a spiritual body. But that does not mean that one should not avail himself or herself to the elements of Braja Bhakti, that one should not avail himself or herself to the association of Rasik Vaishnavas, that one should not avail himself to the katas which are coming from the lotus mouths of the Rasik Vaishnavas, which are, let's say, filled with power to infuse within us a desire for pursuing the path of Braj Bhakti. So this Shravana Dasha, which is, let's say, characterized by a serious association. Jai ho, jai ho. This Uludvani is very auspicious. Maybe they're trying to tell me that the class should finish because it's almost 10 o'clock. So anyway, please excuse me because my tendency is to ramble on and I hope you don't mind. But I don't know how often, because I don't give class very often. You know, in the last few years, you know, a handful, five or six classes. So please excuse me if I'm taking more and more time. I hope that you don't, that it's not boring to you. But the, it's just, I want to say here that Shravana Dasha is very essential platform. From the platform of Shravana Dasha, we get all the necessary impetus to pursue the path. In the platform of Shravana Dasha, we will hear about Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's leelas, and pertinent instructions concerning the cultivation of Kevala Bhakti, because that's what we're supposed to be getting at the feet of our Guru. However, there are two stages of Shravana Dasha. One is called, the first stage is called, or the first process, Krama Hina Shravana. Kramahina Shravana. Krama means process, I think, is it not? Steps, you know, or the way, the procedure, or like that. So, Hina means unqualified. Hina, Dina, fallen, unqualified. So, this Kramahina Shravana refers to the stage where a devotee has no particular, recognizes in himself or herself no particular inclination to one of the five primary rasas in the Braja Bhakti. But he goes on hearing. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that at this stage, why is he unqualified? It's because, why is it that he's unable to ascertain within himself the particular bhav-vritti, or the inclination or the aspiration to a particular bhav? Why? Because his vision is clouded. Therefore, cheto darpana marjanam. Therefore, param vijayate Sri Krishna samkirtan. By performing samkirtan jagya, one becomes completely freed to his heart becomes cleansed, and he's able to see within himself, within his heart of hearts, his particular inclination toward a particular rasa upon hearing about the beautiful pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Before that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructs that one should not try to exclusively focus one's consciousness on hearing of the, let's say, most esoteric pleasure pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't hear, but what he's saying is that one should not exclusively focus. Rather, along with such hearing, it is not that one has to be completely freed from all anartas before one hears about Krishna's pastimes in the gopis. Otherwise, what is the meaning of Sukadeva Goswami saying that by such hearing, the ridrog is diminished and diminished? But nevertheless, because the heart is clouded by anartas, grosser types of anartas, anartas arising from sinful life, particularly anartas arising from sin, anartas arising from piety, anartas arising from bhakti itself, anartas arising from namaparadam, like that. So, but particularly the anartas arising from sin are there, that these types of anartas especially cloud the vision. As long as the vision is so cloudy that one is unable to perceive within his heart any inclination toward or the aspiration to augment any particular bhava, then one should also simultaneously, along with hearing about the gopis and Krishna, one should hear as well about Krishna's killing of the demons, or the Naimittika Leelas of Krishna. The Nitya Leelas of Krishna, as in the Astakaliya Leelas, etc., they should be focused upon, and they must be focused upon, by devotees who are serious about traversing the path of Braja Bhakti, who have, let's say, come to the next stage of Shravana Dasha, called as Krama Shuddha Shravana, wherein one within his heart recognizes a particular inclination to a particular bhava. That pure hearing on the basis of that inclination will be, in other words, when we hear something which will be bhava sambandhi, bhava anukula, then we will attach ourselves to the hearing process on the basis of our aspired to bhava. And the subject matter of hearing will act to nourish our particular bhava. One devotee will hear from one angle of vision the very same subject matter, and another devotee will hear from another angle of vision the very same subject matter. But because the inclination is there, he will hear from a particular standpoint, and in its own way, that subject matter will nourish. Even just like in the cultivation of Sakya Ras, we will see in books like Govinda Lilamrit and also Bhavanamrit, Madhu Mangal and Subal, they are standing on the banks of Radhakund in the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, in the Madhyana Lila, the midday pastimes. Oh, the bell is ringing again. Damn clock. So these sukkas, because they are priyanarma sukkas, basically, very intimate pastimes, they can participate in these pastimes. And so they're taking the side of Krishna and jumping up and down and cheering Krishna, jai, jai, cheering Krishna, rooting for his victory. And on the other hand, the Sakis and Manjari maidservants, Kinkaris, they're standing elsewhere, some of them, like Kundalata and Dhanishta and others, they are cheering Radharani's victory, like that. So when a devotee will hear such pastimes, then if he's cultivating the Sakhi Bhav, he, she, cultivating the Sakhi Bhav, then he will see from their point of view. And if he's cultivating the Sakha Bhav, then he will take inspiration from Subal's point of view or Madhu Mangala's point of view. If the devotee will see, for example, at the breakfast pastimes, a devotee will see that here's Krishna and his sukkas, let's say, assembled together for breakfast. And there's so much joking and fun at the breakfast pastimes, especially we appreciate Madhu Mangal's contributions. So, anyway, it is seen that various rasas are amalgamated, so to speak, at one time. And this is very also important to understand, because Braja is Vipralambamai Leelastan. This is not the place for Sambhog Leelas. Although Sambhog is there, but it is prompted by Vipralamba, and you can say that it is punctuated by Vipralamba. So, in the course of the Leelas of Krishna, you'll see that at certain times there is opportunity for exclusive expression for one rasa, of one rasa, and sometimes there is opportunity for exclusive expression for another rasa. Just, and then other times there are there is a situation where the various rasas. No, please. I need the sun. Thank you. We tried that before. Shrimati Radharani ki jai. So, forget this Krishna. Yeah, the combination of the rasas manifest. So at that time, especially, these are beautiful opportunities for the manifestation of the experience of so near yet so far, intensifies the anxieties, the desperations. Just like Radharani is looking through the window from the kitchen side to see the beauty of Krishna's face, but she has to be very careful that none of the superiors notice her placing a sidelong glance upon his handsomeness and sweetness like that. The friends don't get to be completely unabashed in their playfulness with Krishna. That's why when Krishna is going to the cow to the pasture grounds with the cows, and the whole of Braja is following them, following Krishna and his friends, Krishna has to tell to Nanda Maharaj that all of you must go back, because as long as your superiors are lumbering about, the cowherd boys aren't going to be able to play like they, because the superiors are always hovering about. So we need some freedom, to be able to give expression to ourselves. So similarly, in the evening pastimes, when Krishna is taking his dinner, the same, jovial spirit is not seen as in the breakfast pastimes. You'll see that Madhu Mangala is not joking the way he would normally do. With the mothers, there's a little more freedom. But when the fathers are there, it's kind of like everyone is a little stiff, you can't cut loose, So like that. But still, the circumstances, because naturally they want to cut loose. They want to joke. They want to laugh. Here's Krishna, the Prananath, the be-all and end-all, everything. But they can't do it because the circumstances are creating a type of... inhibition, yes. So this is the damning effect, So in this way, the Vipralamba is active, in various leelas to augment the relishment of rasa in Krishna. So like that, I don't think we can go too much further, or we should go too much further. I just like we'll just go a little further. I'll just read a couple things here. That someone may say that one has to be completely freed from all anarthas before he can even dream of pursuing the path of Braja Bhakti. But I would like to read an expression from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Sankalpa Kalpadrum, where he says, Oh, hey, Tulsi. Oh, hey, great Ganges of mercy. Because at one time you placed your lotus feet on my head, and I was fortunate to drink a small portion of your Charnamrita. Tulsi, in this case, is not Tulsi Devi, but is his guru, in his guru Rupasaki. In his Manjari Sarup. So, but he's actually praying to his guru. Because at one time you placed your lotus feet on my head, and I was fortunate to drink a small portion of your Charanamrit. For this reason, such desires have arisen in my heart. My mind and heart are covered with hundreds of faults, and at the same time, within that same heart, all of these desires have also taken birth. Just see how much difference there is between these two directions. But hey, Tulsi, at this time, your causeless mercy is the only hope for this destitute maidservant of yours. Even though I am an offender, it is due to your influence only that such desires have come to me. I have no love for Krishna, nor for the cause of developing love for Krishna, namely hearing and chanting. And the process of bhakti yoga, by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart, is also lacking in me. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But above all, and this is particularly appropriate for most of us, I am not even born in a nice family. We should make their songs our songs and sympathize. The more we can do that, the more we have the adhikar to actually enter into the spirit of what they're actually all about and what they want us to be all about. Therefore, I must simply pray to you, Gopijana Balava, Krishna, the maintainer and beloved of the gopis. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet, and this hope is giving me great pain because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. Further, Srila Madhavendra Puri has said, "Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers, or my God brothers, as it were, may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad, and the learned philosophers may assert that I'm much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Sri Govinda, though I be unable to do it. Kabhi habi bolo se dinamar." when, oh when, will that day be mine? So that hope should be there. Without the hope and without the desperation, there's nothing. But it is by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we should never underestimate the transcendental preponderance of our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. By his influence, even the thought or the dream or the slightest scent of it could come to us. So we should aspire and aspire. Prabhupada is told that we should have high aspirations. Without having the high aspirations, then what is the direction? Where are we, what is our hope? Because without having higher aspirations, we will only aspire to the various other conditional, levels of consciousness, in contaminated life. So Krishna consciousness necessarily includes the ardent hope and aspiration. For Braja Bhakti. This is not the International Society for Narayan Consciousness. It is not the International Society for, Dwarkadish Consciousness. Please, excuse me. But it is the International Society for Swayamrup Brajendanand Krishna Consciousness. Those who are on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, even if they, if we remain, if our devotion remains relegated only to the principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, then even if a desire to have a relationship with Krishna in conjugal love arises, then we cannot, attain the desired effect or the desired result of service to the Brajalilas, but rather we will be relegated to the realm of Vaikuntha Bhakti, or we will be relegated to the realm of Dwarka Bhakti as an adherent to the queens of Dwarka. Vaikuntha Bhakti also means the Golok Bhakti, wherein Radha and Krishna Sarup are served in reverential devotion. There is a realm like that on the Golok planet, so one may go there. So it is very important that we try to understand how to make the progress to the realm of Braja. And it will take, it's not just a matter of academics, it's not a matter of scriptural erudition. They may be, although it's not, it doesn't have to be devoid of scriptural erudition, I don't mean to say that, but they are not the primary, lakshana of someone who's advancing in pure devotional service. In Braj Bhakti. In the Vaidhi process, you will see that there's a gradation on the basis of the faith, which is governed by scriptural edicts. And so the advancement will be seen in terms of how much one is versed in the Shastras. Those who are not versed in the Shastras, they don't know how to properly deal with Krishna, nor do they know how to properly deal with Krishna's devotees, nor do they know how to properly deal with the people in general, or any living entity for that matter. So they are considered to be very neophyte. And then those who have been impressed by the Shastric injunctions and are following, and whose faith is fixed up, because of the influence, because of their association with the Shastras, because of their faith in the injunctions of the Shastras, they may be called as Madhyamadikari. And those who are well versed in the Shastras and can impress others are called as Uttama Adhikari. But in the Ragmarg, it is not like that. In the Ragmarg, it is only a matter of degrees of lobha or greed which constitutes the level of advancement. Still, we should not think that the Shastras, we should not think that they don't play an important role, because where else is the guidance? We have to take guidance, and the guidance will be found in the teachings of our predecessor acharyas, and there's so many scriptures there. Prabhupada has mentioned in one purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita that actually living in Vrindavan means to take shelter of the six Goswamis by reading their various literatures which they have contributed. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, and other scriptures. By taking shelter of these scriptures, then we can, actually hope to truly reside in Vrindavan. Vishaya Chadiya Shuddha Habiman Kavi Habu Heravoshi Vrindavan. If you want to reside in Vrindavan, then we have to divert our attention to the descriptions of Krishna and Krishna's lilas, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's names, etc., by taking shelter of the instructions of the Goswamis. So it is an essential thing. But that kind of, association and Shastric erudition is not Shastra Vishvasmai, but it is Lobhamai, when that Lobha will actually be there. Someone can make a show of it, for purposes of impressing someone or something, but the actual Lobha, if it is actually there by the grace of Guru, then it is the best thing in the matter of Brajavas, to always be absorbed in hearing and chanting the Krishna Katha, which has been availed to us by the grace of our Guru Parampara. And that will be good for you and us, and it will be good for everyone that has anything to do with us. So on that note, Hare Krishna. I don't think there's time for questions or comments. A tiny discussion.
Society, the greedy, so many things. Happy to hear this thing, but it's not greedy. The other places are forgotten. to the daily life.
Turn it on.
Society, or, you know, people are greedy for almost everything, but they don't greedy to add a little touch of bhakti in their everyday lives. I'm not excluding myself, but I could only say this because, you know, I will knock my head, you know, to add some bhakti in whatever I'm doing.
You're saying that they're not greedy for bhakti.
They're not greedy.
They're greedy for everything
else
but bhakti.
They're greedy for everything else. Yeah, and lobar, you know.
Actually, the truth is that they're greedy for bhakti, but their greed is being misdirected. They're actually greedy for Krishna. They want Krishna. Everyone wants Krishna. Everyone's looking for Krishna. And therefore, how important it is for us to distribute Krishna consciousness, to distribute these transcendental literatures for the benefit of the fallen conditioned souls, to give them a chance to see something of a better order to be greedy after. So that is the influence of our Guru Parampara, and that is the main purpose behind Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada's pushing our book distribution. Practically, I remember in those days, Prabhupada was whipping us. He says practically whipping us to double and redouble book distribution. But you should know that it wasn't just so that we could sell more books, so that we can collect more money, so that we can have, you know, better facilities for, you know, comfortable living in the temples, etc., for solving the japati problems. You know, that was not the reason why Prabhupada, you know, wanted to increase the book distribution. His purpose was to follow in the footsteps of the gopis by making arrangements for others to meet with Krishna and thus experience 10 million times the happiness of one's own meeting with Krishna. His purpose was to augment Samkirtan. Actually, the purpose of all the books is to bring one's attention to the importance of chanting and dancing, chanting the holy names, congregational chanting of the holy names. Practically speaking, the congregational chanting of the holy names is the beginning, middle, and end, you know, of all of our devotional activities in this age of Kali. So for that purpose, book distribution was pushed and pushed by Srila Prabhupada, our first and foremost business. All other activities are secondary activities or supportive activities. In certain respects, even the congregational chanting of the holy name is a supportive activity to our book distribution. But at the same time, we should understand that the congregational chanting is the very life and soul, the essence of this Krishna consciousness movement, without which virtually everything else is relatively meaningless. You know, we understand that this is Lord Chaitanya's Samkirtan movement. We don't see that this is Lord Chaitanya's, you know, free medical dispensary. You know, now although there may be free medical dispensaries in Lord Chaitanya's Samkirtan movement, but we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that there's a little Samkirtan in Lord Chaitanya's free medical dispensary. You know, there may be prasad distribution or deity worship in Lord Chaitanya's Samkirtan movement, but we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that there's a little token Samkirtan, you know, done as a kind of, extracurricular activity, you know, or a type of entertainment, you know, in Lord Chaitanya's deity worship movement. It's not a deity worship movement. It's not a prasad distribution movement. Although it may be seen as kitchen religion, you know, from one perspective, we'll eat our way back home back to Godhead. But eating our way back home back to Godhead could hardly be a feasible proposition if we weren't already chanting our way back home back to Godhead. You know, so the real essence of the Krishna consciousness movement is the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And by that chanting, and by, let's say, facilitating the understanding of the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement by the book distribution, others will be, let's say, prompted to participate. And when they participate and get a little taste, you know, of the beauty of what Prabhupada has offered us, you know, and is offering us, then the greed will increase more and more. Must, yes. Yes, we must. Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.